walk in the victory today. Shout out to the worship team for doing a great job in worship today, and just bringing the presence of God. But all over the world, people are celebrating in one way or another this day. Some are hiding. Some are out in the open. Some are doing it virtually. Some are doing it publicly. But either way, he said that when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And today is about his day. His day. Every day is his day, but today is about his day. It's Resurrection Sunday. He didn't stay in the tomb. He got out. And if he got out, so can you. So can you. And you might find yourself bound up today, wondering where God is, wondering where your purpose is. I'm here to tell you that he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. No one. You can't go anywhere else. You can't find anyone else to get through. It's only Jesus Christ himself. Amen. So it's just Jesus. And today I want to take us in the book of Ephesians and open our ears to really understand and hear the reality of the grace of God in this season. Because it was the grace of God that he sent his son. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He chose to. Because of his undying love for you and I, he wanted a relationship back with us. And how many of you would agree that that relationship is worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. So the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at the work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of what? Wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. He said, remember your former life and the way it was. You were serving someone who is not the Christ. You were serving the one who now rules over the air, who works in the sons of disobedience. He's saying, you used to serve someone who was not like me and who wasn't me. The one that you see right now in the earth, perpetrating violence and doing what you see right now to cause fear, that one. You used to walk and serve that one. And if you remember the way your life was, you thought that that was the way it was supposed to be. Until God, who was rich in mercy, reached down and gave you a gift and said, turn this way and you'll follow me into a new life that I've designed for you. That God who's rich in mercy. The God who looked at you in your sin and in your despair and said, I'm going to send someone to save them because they can't save themselves. I'm going to send someone to bring them out of depravity because sin caused them to be depraved in their mindset and every thought in their mind and every intent of their heart was evil. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one. And so Jesus' death on the cross brought us back into alignment with God the Father, and we got a new nature. And we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of his death on the cross, because he was rich in mercy, because when he stretched out his arms open wide, he said, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That God who was rich in mercy, who was flogged and who was beaten beyond recognition, who stood up there naked and bare for the world to see, gave an invitation for the world to say, it was because of love that I did this. It was all because of love that I did this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That God that gave his only son, who was stretched out on the cross, said, this is for you. This is the gift of salvation that was promised. Follow this one. This is my mercy, giving you an opportunity to escape wrath. This is the answer. This is the one. So you didn't have to do it. Because those deserving of sin, the penalty is wrath. And the Bible says it this way, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through your good efforts, not through church attendance, not through how good you are, but through Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice who came to take away the sins of the world. The one who went below the earth so you didn't have to. The one who went below the earth and took the keys back from the enemy and said, I'll take these. So you don't have to go there. You have a choice now. And he said, I present to you this choice. If you hear me knocking on the door of your heart, let me in. It's me knocking. It's me knocking. How do I know he's knocking? You know it's him knocking because he messes with your conscience. He gets in those little tight spaces of your conscience and begins to prick that conscience and says, hey, it's me. What you're doing is not pleasing me. Hey, it's me. Heed the voice of my prophets and my pastors and my teachers. Hey, it's me. Heed the voice of that messenger that I sent. It's me. I'm calling out to you because I want a relationship with you. Hey, it's me. Heed my voice because I don't want you to end up in everlasting torment. Heed my voice. Chosen by God to be sacrificed for you. And I know this might get lost in translation because of what's taking place over the last year, but you still have a God whose son's sacrifice was enough and sufficient. Who every single day you are covered by the blood, and the Bible says loads you with benefits. You are loaded today with benefits. You are loaded with a sound mind today. Well, I don't feel like my mind is sound. It's sound. He said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Sometimes you have to appropriate what the death on the cross gave you access to. It gave you access to soundness of mind. It gave you access to a spirit of power and of love. That's what the cross gave you access to. And sometimes if you're not walking in that, you have to look by faith and take what was done and say, no, I am going to walk in that because that was paid for me. You see, the death that he died for me, it gave me access to all the right to life. Not just life, a little bit of life, but life to the full. Abundant life. Abundant life. Yesterday, we were at a birthday party, and I characterized it with one word. It was just full of life, or three words. Full of life. The main word being life, just full of life. People celebrating life. People out in the open, doing life. Just excited about life. Smelling the sea, the waves coming in. Just around other people. Loving God. Just loving people. Enjoying what he died to give you. He didn't just die so that you can get half of what he said. I died so that you can get it all. Life and life to the full. So if you're not experiencing life to the full, why not? You have to ask yourself, what's my cup full of? Is it full of bitterness? Is it full of anger, jealousy, dissension? You can't have life if that stuff is present. It doesn't work that way. And if you are in Christ, the Bible says that you have crucified that old nature. And you no longer walk according to the pattern of the way the world does or the way you used to walk. But that bitterness and that anger, God said, I died so that you don't have to walk into that. I was whipped so that you could be free from that. Listen, fill your cup up with something else. Drink of the vine. Drink of the life that I died to give you. Life and life to the full. Joy and peace and confidence. Not bitterness, envy, and jealousy. That's where fear resides. There. Faith can't live where that is. It can't grow entangled in those things. And so his death on the cross untangled the grip that sin had on you. It's not that we don't fight sin. It's not that we don't experience temptation. It's not that we don't struggle. But we now have an advocate. We now have someone who has gone before us, who's able to sympathize, empathize with our weakness, who was tempted at all points like we were tempted, so that now he's qualified to strengthen us. So there is no excuse. You have an advocate now who's actually for you. God, I'm drifting. I got you. I got you. Look for the way of escape. I got you. God, I'm struggling. It's okay. I got you. I struggled, but I didn't sin, so I'm qualified. Listen, life, if you expect to walk further in life, don't expect that it's not going to be without certain type of struggles. There's going to be a struggle because you're not done here yet. God is not done with you. He said that if he began a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, until the day Jesus comes back or until the day that he takes you home. He said, we are completing that work. And there are things that I'm doing right now that I'm shaving off, I'm cutting off, that you are struggling in, but it's perfecting something in you and it's performing something in you. I'm doing a work inside of you that is deep and that is necessary for eternity. So that means that you're going to struggle with me, but I got you because I'm qualified to do it. Your husband is not qualified. Your wife is not qualified, but I got you. I got you. This is the kind of Lord and Savior that we serve. Not only did he die for you, but he continues to walk with you hand in hand. He continues to talk with you. There's a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk in it. That type of God who begins to speak to you, who holds your hand, who goes before you, who says fight, or he says stand, or he says sit and just wait with me. That type of God who's working it all out according to his good plan and his good purpose. That God, the God who died for you so that you didn't have to go and spend eternity away from him. That God who's rich in mercy. Salvation has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your good work. It has nothing to do with how good you look. It's all about God who did it in spite of you. In spite of you. It is by grace you have been saved. God said, I'm giving it to you, but you didn't earn it. And so if I didn't earn salvation, I can't earn his approval. He already approves of me. I work because I want to get better. I'm not working so that God approves of me more. He can't approve of me any more than he does right now. Because when he sees me, he sees a blood-bought, new-natured person because of his son. And has given you a new name. And so that when you refer to your old life, God looks and says, what life are you referring to? I died to give you something new, a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And so when I look at you, I see new. And when I talk to you, I talk to you based upon that newness. I'm not referring to your old life. It doesn't mean some would say, well, doesn't he remember? The Bible says that I have the mind and memory of Christ, and that he separates my sin as far as the east is from the west. God knows all things, but he chooses to forget some things. Oh. He chooses to forget what you did because of his mercy. And now gives you access and still says, I love you, child, you are mine. What kind of a God is that who still wants a relationship with you, knowing that you are going to spit in his face and you will reject him and what he's asking you to do, but still pursues you and wants your heart? What type of God is that who still loves you in your depraved state, in your turning and rebellious ways? What type of God is that who still looks down at you and says, I've died for that. I want that. It's still mine. Who never abandons, who will go to great lengths to get your attention and to bring you back and to say, I still love you, and works tirelessly to do it. He's not lazy. He got up on that cross one time. The sacrifice was sufficient, but now the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for me. What is he doing? Praying. Commanding the angels to take charge over you. Watching out over your life. His eyes are going to and fro just to see, what can I do? How can I help him? sending my spirit, said go and go and go. Thank God that he had to go, because the Spirit of God now lives inside of us, who's omnipresent. Not only is he omnipresent, but he's omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he's also omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and so nothing escapes his grasp. There is no hiding. There is no delaying what you think. Well, maybe God will, and maybe he won't. There is no pretense with God whatsoever. God is who he says he is. He is sufficient. His word is his word. He stands by himself. He is the great I am. There is no discounting who God is. You can't change his nature. You can't make him do something that you don't want him to do. If God wants to do it, he will do it. He is sufficient. He is God by himself. He knows what to do without you. He knows what to do with you. He knows what to do continually to work with you. That's the type of God you serve. That's the type of God you serve. And when God says it's your turn, God will bring you in and start to do the things that he wants to do with you. And God says, when it's not your turn, it's time to come home with me, he'll take your breath. He's all-sufficient, cradle to grave. All-sufficient. And he's been chasing you for years, for years. Just to chase you, just to show you his goodness, that type of God that he is. I want you to just recount, rehash the goodness of God and recount the blessings in your life and the things that God has saved you from and brought you out of. You know, the things that you brought on yourself that God stooped down in his mercy and grace and say, I know, I saw it, but I got you. The times where he looked down and said, I know you're doing what you're doing and you think you're doing right, but I got you. The time that he reached out and saved you from him or saved you from her. Or the times that you thought God wasn't there, and then later on you found out he's always been there. Because just because you leave doesn't mean God leaves. And so that God who's sufficient and who understands your nature and who understands your shortcomings said, I'm going to make up the difference, and I'm going to show you what it means and what real love means. He said, you're not going to comprehend it, you're not going to understand it, but I'm going to show you what love is, so much so that I'm going to die for people who will never accept me. And we get upset when people reject us because they don't agree with us or they don't like something that we do or how we are, and we get upset, and then we turn away from God because we're afraid of rejection. And we don't realize that he died to help you with that rejection. And so if you every time you get rejected, you turn, you are missing out on the blessing of actually being rejected and identifying with the Son. Your rejection is a gift that God has given you to identify with him. I'm a Christian. Identify. You want to identify with resurrection, but you don't want to identify with rejection. But that is, and like we said before, that is the pathway to resurrection. I want to be like Christ. I want to love like he did. Because remember that time in that service you prayed, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. And you had a great time. The music was up and things were happening. You were tearing and things were happening. You felt that moment and you didn't think that God heard you. And then all of a sudden, God did something and brought you into a position of maturity. And you said, this hurts. I know, but you prayed that prayer. Well, God, why do you hear some and not don't hear the other prayers? Because, well, it's reality of it is this, is that because I know the intent of the heart. You really want me. You're just struggling with what it means to actually get me. And you know how that process goes, even in your own relationships. There are people who are not giving you what you want, or people who are more mature than you, and they cause you to take inventory of your own life. What do they have that I don't? And what happens is it causes us to turn inward, which is okay for a little bit. Because it will help you identify what are some of the things inside that are not right or godly that need to change. Because if I'm a Christian, you see, the thing about being a Christian is it's rewarding, but it's also frustrating. It's full of victory, but it's also understanding that there is defeat. There's success, but there's also failure. And so I have to identify with all of these in order for me to understand who Christ is. Because Christ has never failed, never failed. And so I'm working up into him. He doesn't have to work up into me. And so if I am in Christ, and the Bible says Christ is in me, I have the hope of glory, that means that I'm going to go through different stages and seasons of my life so I can identify with who he is and go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And that means that it's going to be uncomfortable and there are going to be things I'm going to have to face, because guess what? The way there is that way. It's that way. I have to be okay on my journey that if people decide that they don't want to go any further with me, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to go further with Christ. The hope of glory. Well, he's the hope now. If you decide to check out, I have to still be okay with my walk with Christ, because now I've identified with him. So that means if I identify with him, that means through the unknown, the heartache, and the discouragement, I'm going to continue to walk with him, because one day I'm going to reign with him. And it's worth it to go that way. It's worth it. But I have to make that decision. If you decide one day it's no longer worth it, I have to be okay. If we can't handle rejection, we're not going to be able to handle Christ really well. Because he is going to cause things to happen in your life, and I'm going to say this purposefully, to help you deal with that. Because if you can't understand that he loves you despite your rejection, if you can't understand he loves you despite your struggle, you're always going to look to other people to fill that void and to give you the thing that you need and to prop you up every single time it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out. And so something happens, and you know the way it is because it's playing over in your mind right now. It doesn't go right, you lean. You lean, you rock, the whole thing. You go, you lean, and then you come back and say, oh, sorry, Lord, sorry. But you lean again. And Lord said, I'm the rock, but you going back and forth. And then what God does is every single time, he tries to help you deal with that and shores you up so that you stop doing that. Stop doing it. I need you to deal with that, because my relationship with you is not based upon that. It's based upon my death and what I did and the value that I see in you. And so there are things happening right now in the lives of a lot of people in this room where God is testing your allegiance. If you really love me, you'll follow me. And you have people all over the world today expressing their love and thanks for Christ in ritualistic ways, because it's Easter. But it does not mean the heart is bent to say, not my will, but yours be done. Because the next step is, okay, then take up that cross and walk with me up Golgotha. Walk with me on that road. I want you to go with me on. That's the road. Yeah, that one. This is a celebration day, Pastor Richie. It is a celebration day, but it was also death day. We call it Good Friday. It was a great Friday. But it was his death day. So that today he can get up. Because you remember when they went to the tomb and the angel had come down and rolled that tomb away. He was no longer there. And the angel said, listen, go tell his disciples he's up. And you know, as they were running and they were freaking out. Freaking out because he's right. And you know, Jesus is so cool. I knew who he was. Just started appearing to people. Because, you know, when they last saw him, they were doing this. You remember his last words, go into all the world. Okay. On the cross, is this really happening? Yeah. Notice they weren't real close, though, if you read the accounts of the scriptures. Because a lot of people would prefer to watch from a distance than to get up real close when push comes to shove. You know the real friend you got. Not friends, plural. You know the real friend you got, maybe one, maybe two, that when it's hard, when it's difficult, and then when you have everything exposed, that one who still loves you. I imagine Jesus thinking about that same thing when he's up there, having to do it by himself, but looking out, where are my people, man? And knowing that the only person he could trust at that point turned his back on him because he had to take it. Okay, so you can't take rejection, but he took it from his dad, the creator, for you. So you can't take, it's hard for me to feel, I feel abandoned all the time. You don't have to. He took it so that you didn't have to know what it feels like. It doesn't mean that those feelings don't come in, but once you recognize, he said he'll never leave me or forsake me. Okay, I got that. Why? Because we're looking at everybody else rather than the cross. The cross is where my identity is now. That's what I go through. That's the barometer. Now, I was talking to someone the other day, and we have a conversation, and we were talking about where in the body of Christ are the Pauls? Where are those men and women of faith stepping up? And I said, I think God's bringing them. There's a resurrection coming back. God's bringing them back. He's bringing them out of hiding. Right now, it's bringing them out of hiding because people have been scared so long. God's been, like, perfecting people behind the scenes and about to bring them out front and center and say, hey, these are the ones I've been talking about. These are the ones. But so many people are afraid to take the hit. Nobody wants to experience life in the way that Christ wants them to experience it all the time because you want the glory, but you don't want the tears. We want the freedom, but we don't like the work that it takes to get there because it's a struggle to get free. I don't care what anybody says. You can look at anyone who's overcome something in their life. It was a struggle to get there, a struggle. God does things supernaturally at times, but 99.7% of the time, it is a struggle. You working stuff out in your own emotions and your own mind to get right. Because you know that God is in it with you. He doesn't just necessarily do it for you. You got to work it out. That's why salvation is a work in progress. You are working out your salvation with fear and trembling. I don't have it yet, but I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm walking. I'm not necessarily where I want to be yet, but I'm moving. I'm seeing progress. Praise God. And it's a struggle that gives you perspective. It gives you perspective. It gave him perspective. The perspective that you have now from the cross is different than when you had in your former life. Because now I look at someone who actually did it and died for me, and now he gives me the strength to actually do it with him. It's a different perspective. I can't leave him, Lord. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can't stay, Lord. Yes, you can. I can't do it, Lord. Yes, you can. Every time those thoughts come in your head from this day forward, I want you to think about that cross, which, by the way, is empty. Because we don't have to keep putting him back up on the cross, because he died once and for all. So now what I do is I refer and I look back and say, if he's not there, that means I don't have to stay where I'm at. Because now he is making intercession for me, and I can do what he says I can do because of his goodness. And so, and get the tomb. There's no one in the tomb. Cross is empty. Tomb's empty. So that means he's not there. So I have access to someone who is now living in another place, another dimension, who I can talk to on the daily. On the daily. Not just to mention that way, but we got a line with me and the Holy Spirit going on the inside. Holy Spirit's hearing what Jesus is saying. Jesus is hearing what the Father's saying. And we got a little connection going. Side note, that's why praying in the Spirit is a gift, but another day for another time. Not today, Pastor Richie. Not, don't talk about tongues today, boy. Okay. Okay. Yeah. But if you want another dimension of power, you open up your spirit to all that God has for you, not just the things you understand. Well, I can't understand it. It's not God. Since when has God given you anything that you can understand fully? Salvation is still unfolding, and it's going to take eternity for you even to understand what that actually meant for you. You're just moving closer to a knowledge of what that is. Paul said, I pray that you can comprehend it. Because you don't see like it really is yet. So I have to learn to do it like he did. And it's not that he was weak. And for all those people said that he was weak and he didn't know what he was doing, he was not weak. Because his identity gave him the strength he needed. That's why identity is a big deal. If you don't know who you are, fast forward, whose you are also, you will trip up in this life wanting other people to assign to you who you are. And if you don't take control of your own identity and find out who God says you are, you could be assigning things that other people think you are to you, that God says that is not your number one identity, and number two, this is not your assignment. I don't call you to sticky pad people with yellow stickies and say, okay, you this, you this, you this. We don't walk around doing it all the time. You this, and oh, but this is what the world's doing right now. Oh, you this, oh, you don't, okay, you don't feel that way, that's okay. You this, because it's based upon feeling, because you haven't got your nature right. Once you get your nature right, you'll fix your identity. And once your identity gets fixed, guess what? There's no turning into something that is unprofitable for you or that just leads to destruction. You don't have to walk in confusion as a Christian whatsoever. You can walk in peace knowing who you are and knowing whose you are. I am a male, 44 years old, who loves Jesus, who's standing on the rock. There is no doubt about that. No doubt. No doubt. You can doubt it all you want. You can try to change it. Don't change it. Why do you think identity is under attack? Because identity and restoration go together. I know who I am. All of a sudden, life gets restored back into me. Hope gets restored back into me. Peace. There's someone who's actually for me. It's actually, oh, it's not even about this life. Oh, yeah, there's that. And once I get that right, I start thinking eternally that I'm just passing through. And that God is just getting you ready for him in eternity. He's got to get you ready. And so once you get that in your head and you get that fixed, you understand when he says that life's a vapor and it's quick, it goes by. So stop putting down stakes where stakes need to come up. Why spend your life worrying about what you can't control? Why spend your life worrying about what's going to happen here when you die? you're not going to be here. You're going to one or two places. Well, I don't believe in hell. It's cool. It doesn't matter what you believe. Now, I've talked to people before. I'm like, listen, you want to take the chance? You can take the chance. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, it's probably better to bow now than later on for God having to resurrect you out and say, remember that time? And you bow later and it's too late. He said every knee will bow. Listen, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess that I am Lord. Yeah, yeah, everyone will. That means all the people you idolize, you are the Lord. That's why it's futile for us to look at people for source power. You can't get it from them. People are like vitamins. They give you a little bit of what you need. Everyone gives you something. You got some B2? I'll take some B2. You got some hydrochloric acid? I'll take that. Okay. Okay. You got some women? That's a thing. That's a thing. Thank you very much. That's a thing. Okay. You got some C? They got a little C. I'll take that. For the women, you got some folic acid? Okay. That's good too. All right. So all that stuff. Everyone's got a little bit of stuff that they can give you, but they can't give you the source. You can't get it. They give you a little bit of that. You are deficient in something right now in your life. You are deficient. Your body is deficient in something. I don't care how much water you drink until you blow up. It does not matter. You can drink all the water you want. You can flush out every vein in your body. You can shoot your body with Botox. You can shoot it with Clorox. Whatever you want to shoot it with. Get it ready to go. You can get it. You can get your teeth so white that when people look at you, they say, I can't see nothing. You can do all that, but still be deficient in the source, because that stuff doesn't last. It's passing away. It's passing away. You can plug your hair up with so much hair that when you look at it, it just waves back and forth in the wind, but it doesn't matter. It's the source. If you are genetically bald, predisposition, I'm bald. No hiding it. Look. You try to comb it over, do whatever you want to do. Feel good about yourself. It don't matter. Feel good about yourself. But the reality of it is that when I saw that thing going, I'm like, you know what? I cannot do the hated it thing. I cannot do the thing. I'm not doing it no more. I'm shaving it up. And it's worked for us for years, and it continues to work, because I don't have to worry about, is it going to go? It already went. It doesn't matter. And some of y'all right now are fearful of, what am I going to lose? Just go ahead and lose it. Because you start focusing on things that are temporal and you miss out on the eternal. What is it if it goes? Because what matters is the condition of my soul. Because I'm being worked on from the inside out. God says, the outward appearance, I'm looking at the inward man. Listen, if God was so concerned about the outward appearance, there would be no... The Bible would not talk about the passing away of the flesh, the outward appearance. God said, I'm concerned about this. He said, don't be discouraged about that, because then every day you're being renewed. And that renewal makes you attractive. It makes you attractive because you begin to look past the temporal and to the eternal and say, God, what have you created me for? What have you created me to do with you? Spirit to spirit, truth to truth. And you look on a different plane, and that stuff doesn't bother you anymore. You don't get tripped up by magazines anymore. Ladies, you don't get tripped up in magazines anymore because that's fake. I know that's fake. That's fake. You're like, ain't nobody look like that. And even if they do, who's going to want it? Because you're healed now. You don't look at that stuff anymore. It's okay. That's your former life. You don't do that anymore. Or you shouldn't do that anymore. Nothing wrong with, hey, I want to look good, but keep it in check. Keep it in check. People still want to see the real you behind the plastic. I want to have a conversation with a person, not a doll. Because when you begin to understand who you are in Christ, that stuff doesn't hold you anymore. You look good, you feel good, great. If I feel great on the inside, awesome. It don't matter if my ear is lower on the right side than the left. I look good on the inside. I'll get that fixed if I need to. But I gotta look at what's important. Because that's gonna carry me in life. Because they might reject me because of the way I look, but he said, I'll never reject you because I see what's inside of you, and that's what I want. That's what I value, that. And I'll bring you before people. Even if you don't feel like you look good, I'll make you look good because there's something about my spirit that's attractive to people. Don't look at people just because they have outward appearance and it's all together. Don't look at Saul and say, he's the one. Because he ended up killing himself when it was all said and done. Because he didn't have the depth of character that was necessary to hold the position that he was in. I want to hold my position in God. And God's going to build you in your character. Because the more you go up, and it always goes back to this, the more weight it takes to hold. You're talking about Jesus, too, who carried the sins of the world. And listen, not just the sins that were going to be and are, but the sins that were being committed and would ever be committed. We're talking about he took away the past, the present, and he took care of the future in one death. So now that you have access to him anytime you want because of the blood of Christ, not abusing grace. Now you don't do what you want to do and say, I need grace. God said, I don't play that game. But understanding you have access because now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation anymore. So I can freely come before my Father. That's what makes that relationship, it's worth it, because I can freely become to my Father like I am. I know you're struggling, son. I know you're struggling, dog, but I love you. He's a dad that'll never reject you. Never. What does that mean? No, he'll never reject you. And he'll take you through seasons of your life to show you that. And some of you right now are hurting because you feel like there's a separation and you feel like God's pulling people away and I don't feel like I can lean on him anymore. And God said, yeah, I got it there for a reason. Because you're starting to lean wrong. You know, when one part of your body is like out of alignment, it throws everything off. Everything off. I can tell when I'm a little bit out because my left side is not right. And once I go up and get my fix, where I need to get fixed because I know I need to get back, I know it's better. But you know that point. When something's out, it affects everything else. Why? Because what I start to do is I feel it and I can't stretch like I want to stretch. I'm not as flexible. Out of alignment. If you don't get the alignment issue right, you're not going to be able to walk correctly. Let's put it this way. Your body won't function to its fullest capacity if you don't get that fixed. Okay. Isn't that what the death did? It started the process of bringing the body back into alignment. The world back into alignment with God the Father. The veil tore. So now, Sharon, there is access now that I have. Alignment. Before, it was out of alignment because of sin. The death brought us back into alignment. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why when you get saved, immediately you're saved. Immediately. Brings you back into right standing. I got to work. No, you don't have to work. False teaching. I got to work up to salvation. I got to pray until I can't pray no more. I got to suffer for my sins because, no. That'll come a little bit later. As God walks you through stuff. But once you give your heart over to Christ and you say, Lord, I believe in my heart that you died for me. And you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He said, I got you. But there's a turning of the heart that has to take place. And only God knows the heart. So you can't judge before the necessary time. See, that's why the Bible says judge nothing before its time. Because you can have someone who starts off rough, but they finish really good. Because it's a matter of the heart. And salvation, while it was a public thing, it's also personal. Because we can't save each other, only he can. So he comes down and says, if I am knocking, open it up, I'm going to come in. I got you. What is that voice I'm hearing right now in my head? It's the Holy Spirit. He just won't let me go. I know. He's like that. Like that. Let's all stand up if we could. The first song we sang today was I Thank God. Hell lost another one. I am free. There are people in here, most people in here have given their heart over to Christ. And hell lost them. They just a long time ago just lost them because we got, look, saved, 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 saved. I am free. You are free. You are free. You are. But it is a process also to walk in freedom. It is, okay, so I'm free. Yeah, I've given you. You are free. But now we're going to walk out some freedom. We're going to, oh, yeah, we're going to walk out some freedom. This is where it gets good. Because you don't just want the position of being free. You want to actually be free here in the state that you live in. It goes back to this. So my standing says I'm free. My standing says I'm justified. My standing says I'm delivered. My standing says I'm righteous. Sometimes my state doesn't say that. I don't feel that. But guess what? I don't live anymore according to this state. I have to take what the standing says, not by feeling, but by faith. I am righteous. What do you say? No, I am righteous. I am holy. I am justified. Yeah, I know I mess up, but I've got an advocate right now. Yeah, no, he saved me. No, he gave me a new nature. No, I don't call or remember what that was anymore. That one, yeah. Not the old nature anymore, the new one. The new one now. Free. In him. This hurts. Yeah, it's gonna. Because I have to learn now, my former way of life said walk by feeling got me in trouble. Now this life says I gotta walk by faith, be loved by the Spirit to help me stay on where I need to be. And so I don't walk by that anymore, what I see. Now I walk by faith. And when I walk by faith, then I see, oh, I am righteous. And God will let you see, I am righteous. I am holy. Oh, you are. Yes, Lord, you are. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. And God says, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. Don't be led by your emotions and your feelings, even though we do. Don't stay there. There's no reason why that we should. I'm just discouraged, man. Do you know how to get out of discouragement? Get up. Get after it. You know how to beat depression? Start praising God for what he did and what he took you through. You know how to get your mind off stuff that's not working for you? Start doing something that is opposite of what you're thinking about. I'm struggling right now. It's okay. Well, do something that's going to counteract that struggling. And I would say this. I'm a fearful. Well, get up and do it anyway. All right? And listen, I'm going to brag on this one right here. So I got a situation where, all right, and we've talked before. All right, so I'm insecure. I got stuff going on. That's cool. All right? Do it anyway. Okay, well, oh, you're right. We do hard things. Yeah, we do. We do hard things here. So open your mouth and sing. Okay? When you don't do and what God has gifted you to do and you hold back, what happens is there's a reverse effect that takes place and you get trapped. When you don't express yourself in your God-given grace, not just for ministry, but for life, you end up walking in fear. And what happens is that fear brings a snare because you're concerned. And God said, if you will learn to walk and do what I've called you to do, I'll give you the strength to overcome these things little by little. But you have to do it. God does not just do it automatically and say, you got it. Guess what he does? Get up on stage, Leslie, and start singing for 5 weeks. Okay, Jenny. I know you had cancer. I know you can't really sing the way you want to sing, but guess what? I'm going to help you be a teacher and help teach people right now. And listen, you're going to have to be okay with it. You're going to have to be okay that your voice is not where it's going to be, and we'll get it back. by my grace, but as of right now, I'm going to help you defer to other people and just be okay with it. Stay in your lane, honey, because I got you, all right? Stay in your lane, okay? And even for Dawn coming out of the secular place of where she was, okay? Now she comes back from that, and then all of a sudden now gets into this genre of Christianity, really just on fire for the Lord. Listen, just loves God, just wants to learn. Just wants to learn. You know what? Guess what? You're going to play guitar. So come on up. Play guitar. It's going to sound rough, but guess what? You're going to learn. Think about it. He does not place you in a position when you're perfect. He places you in position to be perfected. And when that happens is, that's the struggle. Because his grace is sufficient. I thank God for the struggle. Why? Because it helped me rely upon him. I found my voice. I found who I was. I learned to overcome. I started to deal with stuff in my past. I'm not as timid anymore. I'm more strong and confident in who I am. I don't let anybody tell me what to do because I'm Greek. And so all this stuff. I came from where I was sleeping on a bench. I was homeless, but I got a house now. Praise God. But God didn't do it and snap his fingers. And all of a sudden, it took years for some people. It took hardship for some people. And finally, God said, get out there and just do it. And I'll give you the strength. I don't know what to do. Just start flapping your wings. I'll help you fly. I'm 70, and I'm learning new systems. It doesn't matter. It's the body stepping up, and God looks down and says, I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased with that, because people are jumping out. They're jumping out of planes and just hoping that God catches them. But we got to learn how to fly. And you're not going to learn how to fly on the ground. Because I'm going to do things that I can only control. Well, you're going to miss out on the beauty of flying. Because the perspective is different. The perspective is different. Get up. I don't care. Get up and just do it anyway. He got up so you can get up. This is not the time to stay stuck and stay hidden in a tomb. Don't let this day go by and then Monday comes back and you hiding again. You hiding. What? Listen. You might not like what you see because I've been in hiding for a little bit and I'm not as clean as I should be. Well, just get out and we'll see what happens. Just get out and see what happens, man. I might cry. Go ahead and just cry. Just get it out. But at least you're moving. At least you're struggling. At least you're doing something with your life rather than waiting on God to do it for you. I got news for you. He already did it for you. Right there. And he's waiting for you right now. So just get there and do it. It's hard. It is hard. But every time you think of that, I want you to think of his body. Like this, thinking about you and me, knowing one day they're going to get it. Father, thank you so much for everyone in this room. This is your day. We celebrate you today, Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. We are excited about that. We're excited about your promise to never leave us or forsake us. We know that you haven't left us, you haven't abandoned us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus today, and the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the struggle. Thank you for helping people jump out of their planes today. Lord, as we recount the goodness of God, those that have come from a way off, and now they've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and they're doing things that they never thought they would do. Thank you today that they're stepping out, that shackles are being broken today. Lord, that in you, they are free already. They are free, but they are being broken as they continue to step out and as they come into alignment, what you already see it done. Thank you, God, as you continue to work in their life, and as they continue to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, I thank you for bringing them to new heights that they're not going to be concerned about whether or not you love them or don't love them, but you're consistent. Thank you, God, that there's no fear in love, that today that we're going to walk out of here knowing that you love us the way we are, that we are approved of you, and that causes us to rise up, try new things, step out of our graves, God, step out of our tombs, God, continue to carry our crosses, Thank you for a new level of power in this room. Power. Power over their own self. Over their own emotions. I pray that they would learn to take themselves captive. When they start to rise up and to get out of bounds and start to believe things that are not of you, I thank you for giving them that ability to rest thoughts in here. Not to settle for anything less than your best. For those that are not here, God, and those that you're sending us to, I thank you as we go out today that we're going to go out in joy and freedom and in power to know that we are loved, we are accepted by you. And we thank you for your death on the cross in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.